The Connected Show. I am Ruben Torres, the host of Connected Show, and today we are hanging out with my boy Efrain Guzman. He's over in the East Coast. He's in New York, and he's doing his thing. He's also a fellow podcaster, and I've been on his show, The Atomic Podcast, and he's got a lot of stuff that we share in common, man, especially on the wrestling side. He has a lot of people in the entertainment industry and a lot of wrestlers that are featured on his show, and he featured me on there a while back too, so we got a chance to chop it up about, you know, just our love for wrestling and podcasting. And today he's going to share his journey and podcasting and how he started out. And you know, it's always a cool journey to hear how somebody else is doing their thing. So I hope you guys learn a thing or two about what he's doing in podcasting as well. And you know, today's episode is brought to you by AM Law Group of San Diego. They specialize in family law, criminal defense, immigration, all kinds of stuff, man. You got to reach out to my boy, attorney Anthony Medina. He's born and raised here in San Diego. And, you know, he's also educated, went to school here in San Diego, which makes it even better. He's a homegrown seed here, and he does stuff everywhere. So, you know, you don't got to be from San Diego to use his services. But he has a heart for the community. He loves to help people. He's been helping me out with my nonprofit. So make sure you guys reach out to him. The SD Law Firm. .com, the sdlawfirm.com. Make sure you reach out to him. And here we go, man. Efrain Guzman out in New York. He's out there freezing while we're out here in some old 75-degree spring weather, and it ain't even spring yet. So, you know, we're doing it big out here on the West Coast while he's over there freezing on the East Coast. So here we go. Let's get connected. Get connected.
About the show, so let's go. It's your music and lifestyle, fashion profile, the entertainment source for everything you want to know about. North to the south, the east to the west side, stay connected with Ruben Torres worldwide. So let's go across the globe, well respected, beasting on the industry. Connected.
Welcome to the Connected Show. This is Ruben Torres, connected with Ruben Torres. Today we are hanging out with Efrain Guzman. He's out in the East Coast, out in New York. He's got his own podcast, and we're going to talk today some podcasting. And he's got his thing. He's been going on for quite some time here. The Atomic Podcast. What's going on, man?
How you doing, Ruben? Man, I'm connected with Ruben Torres. Man, it's a pleasure to be on your show, man. How's everything going?
No, man, just, you know, I know we've been trying to catch up for a minute here, and we're finally doing it, so thank you for taking the time. I know it's late out there.
Yeah, not a problem, man. It's, you know, it's already dark as hell outside. I'm sure by your area is nice and bright, am I correct?
No, yeah, it's getting dark out here, too, but, you know, San Diego,
oh, it's, all right.
Yeah, it's always, you know, it's always nice out here, you know how it goes, but...
Yeah,
man, I wanted to have you on the show, because, you know, I'm a big fan of what you guys are doing out on the East Coast, but also, you know, you took the time out to show me love when I was trying to get some exposure and stuff, and you took the time to put me on and give me some shine, man. So you know, I wanted to pick your brain on my show and talk podcasting. So I know you've been doing it for a while. So tell me a little bit about the podcast. And, you know, everything, how, you know, coming up with the name and the concept and everything, you know, how long you've been doing it?
Well, sure. I've been doing it for a year now. Basically, it's me and my co-host, Eva Canisana, who really works more behind the scenes now. But we used to work together at an insurance company from 2005 to 2009. And I pretty much say we had, you know, good podcasting episodes just for talking to each other, because me and him were the only ones that would talk about movies, we'd talk about video games, and, you know, people always looked at us like, you know, look at these guys talking about that, aren't they a little too old for that? But, in the way your show is connected, we connected over video games and like movies and shows and sports. So we connected over that, and we was always talking about it. You know, then, you know, we was working at an insurance company, you know, they laid us off, our department got downsized. So we got laid off, and then I started working where I'm at now at a travel agency. So I've been doing that for a couple of years now. And then I got them connected, no pun intended, I got them connected with a job from a friend of mine who's also working at a travel agency. So he was doing that. And then, you know, we used to see each other when we used to go to the consulates and, you know, we take some visas for the clients and stuff like that. And we, you know, we always talk. Like, we'll go to the consulates and then we'll just talk about movies. We'll always talk about movies. We'll talk about shows, TV shows. Did you see this show? You know, did you see, you know, you saw the Blade trilogy? And, you know, there's a lot, you know, it was like, people would say geek talk, but it was more like, you know, sort of about comics and talking about movies. And then, this is all now after, you know, this is all after 2009, like 2010, 2011. So we're talking about it. And then, you know, he was like, yo, you know, we should do a show about this. You know, we should do some like YouTube show or something. I was like, well, man, I'm like computer illiterate. So I'm like, oh, I don't know the first thing about that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, who wants to hear us? You know what I'm saying? Like, no, it's not like we're like celebrities or nothing like that. So he's the one that he purchased the mic and he got us an account, you know, and then, you know, for, like, you know, to upload videos. And he just said, you know what, let's just start. You know, he was the one, he was the motivator for me. So he's like, you know, let's just do this. And then we went to his job, you know, because he has an office by himself. So, you know, we had an open space, we had a computer, we had a mic. And then we just, you know, it was very rough. Like, the first couple of episodes were really rough because, you know, it was just like, okay, yeah, you know. And then it was more us talking to each other. Then we just, you know, started talking about movies. Our first review was Guardians of the Galaxy, which was last year. So we just started talking about movies and, you know, and then we just been doing it and doing it. Then, you know, he had a baby, so he got kind of busy with a newborn. So I started doing the shows by myself. So it was going, you know, me and him talking about movies and, you know, doing like tributes to our favorite movies, to me doing interviews with, you know, directors, wrestlers, all walks of life. And I've just been doing interviews ever since. And it's been going pretty good so far.
Yeah, I noticed you have a lot of wrestlers on. I know that's something we definitely shared. We had that in common, the wrestling. Yeah. You're a big wrestling fan. Tell me about that.
Yeah, wrestling has always been a part of my life. Even, I think, I remember, like, the first time I watched wrestling, it was on WNYW, which is Fox 5 now, for the, you know, New York affiliate. It was WNYW Channel 5. And my first recollection of watching it, I don't remember the age. I know I was young. I was too young for anything. But I think the first match I saw on television, I believe they showed, I think Hogan getting attacked by the Iron Sheik. It wasn't the one where he won the title at Madison Square Garden. I don't believe. I think it was like a, you know, on I think it was the Superstars of Wrestling. I think it was something where they were showing like a clip of Hogan getting attacked by the Iron Sheik. But I seen the Iron Sheik toy, so I was novice at that time. So I thought Iron Sheik was a good guy because I seen more Iron Sheik toys than Hulk Hogan toys. So I was like, wow, this is really cool, because I was a kid who was just like into imagination and toys and action figures, and, you know, like, this is how big of a wrestling fan I was. Like, I had wrestling toys and I had t-shirts, and I used to cut up the shirts and make up robes for them, and I had like my own federation in my head, and I just played with these action figures all the time, and I made up wrestlers and I made up championships, and I was just a hooked on wrestling fan. Like, the first time I seen like the Iron Sheik and Hogan, and I seen like the Killer Bees, I was pretty much hooked. And then, you know, I was like, well, this is every day. What's going on here? This is really cool. Then, you know, I guess my mom told me, from what I could remember, oh, they get this on Saturdays, but you like this stuff, you know? And then, you know, and religiously, I watch it every Saturday. And, you know, it was, I think, Woody Woodpecker, Chili Willy, and then there was WWE. And then I found out they get on Sundays too, so that was even more exposure to it. So yeah, I kept watching that all the time. And then at that time, like the wrestlers from my era, I remember was Magnificent Morocco, Demolition, the Ace Cowboy Bob Orton, Iron Mike Sharp, God rest his soul, who was like the ultimate enhancement guy, but, you know, he had that great big growl, you know, and Jerry Allen. You know, I always love the enhancement guys because they don't have those matches no more, because that's where you can see, the name wrestlers, King Kong Bundy and One Man Gang. You can see them do the moves, every single move that they couldn't do to like a major superstar like a Hogan, they do to the jobbers. That's what they're called. And you see like every single move that they do. Like if you was to see the one man gang against like Hulk Hogan, he would do every single move in his arsenal to Hulk Hogan. Like he'll do his 727 splash, but Hulk Hogan will do the Hulk, you know, he'll shake the hand no, and then he'll start hulking up, and then he'll do the big boot in the leg. But yeah, that was like my early. I forgot how old I was, but it was like in the '80s, and I was a child watching that. But like Hogan and the Iron Sheik was pretty much my first foray into wrestling, though, and watching it every day religiously.
And how do you go about getting your guests? Because I know you reach out and you got a lot of wrestlers on your show, but not just wrestlers. How do you go about on getting guests on your show?
Well, basically, I like to call myself like a soldier, because you know there's wrestlers that you have to go through publicists, or there's wrestlers where you know you can either send them a Facebook message or a Twitter message or you know an Instagram message sometimes, because you know Instagram you can't send messages, so usually it's through that. And, you know, usually sometimes I get lucky out of it, sometimes I don't. You know, I have more strikeouts than I do victories, but the ones that do talk to me are really humble and, you know, they don't mind talking, you know. And, you know, I had incidents, you know, I don't really want to say any names, but, you know, people, you know, certain wrestlers wanted to charge for an interview. Like, you know, I'll talk to you, but you got to give me like $60. Like, what? Like, wow, okay. You know, it's just so weird, you know. Yeah. But a majority of them have been friendly, you know, because I'm just promoting them and talking about them. And you know, I'm a fan, you know, first and foremost, you know. I don't, you know, it's kind of cool talking to them over the phone, but this is stuff that I want to know, and I'm sure other people will want to know, too. You know, I don't really ask Barbara Walters type questions, you know. It's more of, you know, how you got started in it, what made you want to do this, like, you know, what's your passion about this, you know. There's people that have the regular 9-to-5 type jobs and they're not happy, you know. They're doing it because they have a family, they're doing it because, you know, they have to make ends meet. But a lot of these wrestlers are people who knew what they wanted to do in their life when they were young kids, or you know, they're finished high school and they were doing wrestling all their life. And it just fascinates me. I guess it doesn't necessarily have to be wrestling. It could be acting too, that, you know, these guys, wrestlers, female, male alike, they had a goal which they set for themselves and they achieved it. And even if they're not, you know, like the main event, like Hulk Hogan or The Rock status, they're famous enough that, you know, people know them and, you know, they make a pretty comfortable living if they're still actively involved in it, or even if they're not, they, you know, a lot of them do conventions and they're still, like, well-known, you know. There's a lot of them that are, you know, still recognizable, and a lot of them are really cool. But to go back to your question, I just really send them like either a Facebook message or a Twitter message, and I usually ask them, and sometimes if their schedule allows it, you know, they're down for it, or, you know, usually I would have to wait, so give me a few weeks, I'm busy, or, you know, whenever I'm ready, they want to talk. So yeah, that's pretty much it. That's pretty much, it's just pretty much Facebook and Twitter.
And what's been one of your favorite interviews that you've done with, out of all your guests, what's been one of your favorites that you can talk about?
There's a few of them. I had a real good time talking with Richard Bay. I don't know if you're familiar with him out in L.A. He had a show in the, it was in Jersey, but it was like in New York City. It was like kind of like almost like the pioneer, I would say, because, you know, you had Phil Donahue, but then like almost like his show was like the springboard for like the Jerry Springers of the world and, you know, those kind of talk shows. And Ricky Lake and all that. He was pretty cool because I was just fascinated about the whole talk show scene and how he interviewed Jennifer Flowers before, with the whole Bill Clinton scandal. And after he interviewed Jennifer Flowers, unceremoniously, they canceled his show. You know, so it was just fascinating about that. Also, talking with Sonny Ono from WCW about, you know, dealing with racism and you know, his career in wrestling and being friends with Vishwas and I'm trying to think. There's a Lou Temple is also a great guy to talk to because he's a journeyman actor, and you know, a lot of people probably would see him and be like, "Oh, I see that guy. He was in The Walking Dead, or he was in Halloween." But you know, he's always that guy, but nobody will know him as Lou Temple, and he's just a very cool, laid back, fascinating soul because he's just very down to earth. And you know, he's in Hollywood and everything, and he's been in big movies, worked with Johnny Depp, you know, worked on so far just about all of Rob Zombie's movies. But you know, he's just very humble, you know. And you know, I like people that, you know, they're you know, people like, you know, like me or whatever, see them as a certain status, but you know, they're just doing a job, you know. And you know, we just watch them on television, we feel like, you know, it's larger than life because that's the entertainment field, and we're just like fascinated by that. But you know, he was really cool. Stevie Ray was cool. Trying to think, like, you put me on the spot. There's like a few people I talked to already.
Well, what about some? I know that you've. I mean, you got a ton of, you know, a bunch of people in the entertainment industry, but tell me about, because there's got to be some challenges. So what, I mean, because there's some interviews that go off all nice and smooth and, you know, from beginning to end, from the moment you contact somebody to the end of the interview, like it's all smooth. But what about some of the challenges? Yeah. Tell me, I mean, you don't have to say any names, but what's been like the worst interview that you've done?
Well, the worst interview I've done, so like right now, if usually if we're not like on the same page, it's almost like, I think I had one interview where I spoke to this, I won't mention his name, but he seemed annoyed at first because, you know, I had to remind him that we're supposed to talk. He's like, "Oh yeah, that's right. Okay." And we're talking and it's almost like yes or no questions. Yes. No. Nah, I don't remember. Yeah, you know, I was like, oh, damn. In my mind, like, okay, this is not going to go far. But then what broke the ice was I mentioned something about him that I respected about him, and it opened him up. Like, oh, really? You know, like, did you really like that? And then he opened up a little bit. But, you know, at first it was just trying to, like, take candy from a baby. He wasn't budging at all. But, you know, I think that was my only one. Like, I can't really say, like, I had bad ones. If anything, it was me because my early episodes, I was more like Stuttering Stanley. I was like, you know, so. But, yeah, but I think it was pretty much only one. Like, so far, I enjoyed everybody I talked to, and everybody's informative, and, you know, it's just a fun conversation. So, I think I can only say from what I remember, I only had, like, one bad interview, which I wouldn't say bad, but it was a rocky start.
And when you started, what was your challenges? I know, you know, I was kind of nervous too in the beginning because I'm like, man, you know, I'm used to just having conversations, but now it's being recorded, and you know, my voice sounds weird, and you know, you're all these different things. Like for somebody that wants to get started, what can tell us about like some of the challenges, because everybody's going to have their own sets of challenges, but what was yours? What was some of the stuff that you came across?
Well, the challenges for me basically is when my partner stopped recording with me, so because he was too busy, and our time wasn't really syncing with each other. So I had to come up with an alternative, you know, because we already, you know, had paid airtime, and, you know, I didn't want it to go to waste, so... You know, that's the only, you know, he had his baby and we couldn't really sync up. So I just took the initiative. I took the ball and said, you know what? I'm going to make this like an interview show. So I just like hustled out there. But like the biggest challenges is just getting guests. Like if your show is an interview show and you're constantly having guests, it's just getting people to actually doing it. You know, that's a hard part because everybody's schedules is different. So the biggest challenge is getting guests. Another challenge is, having the time, especially if you're a family man like I am, it's kind of hard because I have to wait for my kids are asleep. I have to wait, you know, for my wife, you know, spend time with the family. My wife, you know, have wife time and have to be asleep. And it's just trying to, you know, because like to having the show, the only challenge is like if you don't have any structure and you don't have any like bullet points you want to hit, like you know, you can't just do it and ring it. You know, you gotta know. You got to do your research too. You got to know who you're talking to because it can be somebody you don't really know, or you can, let's say you're speaking to an author and you didn't read his book and he's promoting a book. You know, it's gonna come out that you don't know what you're talking about. So the challenge is, you know, getting the person you're talking to and they're promoting something, read about what they're promoting, you know, get the knowledge of it, and you know, it's just. You know, it's always a challenge, but if you're passionate about it and it's something that you want to do, you're going to overcome it, you know? And usually 9 out of 10, it won't be your doing. It'll be your guest is doing if they cancel out on you or they're not in the mood to talk, you know, because you're always ready to talk, you know? So that's pretty much usually the challenges, you know, that come about.
How many episodes would you say that you're down already?
I have, I think, 103 episodes. I have 2 episodes that haven't aired yet because my partner's hard drive went down. So once he gets that fixed, then he'll work on those episodes to edit to put them up. But right now I'm kind of on a stalemate as of right now because once he gets the hard drive fixed, then he can get started. Because, like, you know, I just do the interviews, I get it together. He's the one that edits it and puts the intro, you know, cleans it up a little bit. So I'm just waiting on him. This just happened. It's funny because it just happened today, too. This just happened. He just called me up and said, look, the hard drive is down. I can't upload any episodes. But I already have 2 episodes in a can. I have an interview up for tomorrow, and I have 1 in the weekend. So, you know, it's just like, you know, like, I'm sure you have, like, tons of episodes now. It's just the content, you know, like, it's just, you know, it's just at the standstill. Like, I'll still do interviews, but, you know, I just want to get them out already so people can hear them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of a challenge, I think, all the way around with everybody that I've spoken to is the consistency. How often do you release an episode?
I usually try to release 1 a week. I usually do. Like if I can do it, I try to do 2 a week, but I want to space it out because I want to have, in case I'm unable to get a guest or like if I can't do a movie review or anything like that, or I'm unable to get a guest, I'd rather have like an episode in a can, because if I don't do anything, let's say the following week, I always have an extra episode left. Like I always make sure like I have 3 people that I talk to, and then I always have like an uneven number, because let's say guest 1 will be 1 week, guest 2 will be another week. If I don't have a guest that I can have, that's why I have that extra 3rd one. So then I'll fill up that one. Then I definitely have to hustle to get a guest. So after the 3rd week and that 4th week. So I usually try to get like 2 guests in a week, and then I just put 1 for each week. That's what I usually do.
And is there some episodes where you don't have any guests, where you just, I know you do some movie reviews and that kind of stuff. Is there episodes where it's just you?
Actually, I've never done an episode with just me by myself. I have done 1 episode that was only like 20 minutes long where I talked about the San Francisco Comic-Con review. So that's pretty much I did, but I just feel weird doing it by myself. You know, there's people that do it by themselves, but I don't know. I just feel weird. Like I'm more of a person who needs to talk to somebody. You know, some people could do it, you know, yeah, like more power to them, but I'm one of those that can't do it by themselves because it's like, it's almost like a deer in headlights. I'm like, okay, I'm by myself. What am I going to talk about? You know?
Yeah.
It's just so weird.
I did an intro episode where it was just me talking about me for 20 minutes or something like that. And yeah, it did feel a little weird, you know, cause it's, you know, I'm sitting there talking about myself, but you know, most of the time, people love talking about themselves, and when it's something like that, I think it's a little easier because nobody knows your own story better than you. So, you know, that was kind of easy, but I think I'm going to try a couple episodes where I just kind of ramble on for like 5-10 minutes. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But
Good luck. Yeah, I was going to say good luck with that one because, like, for me, for me, it's just like, okay, what am I going to talk about? You know, like, after I say my bullet points, it's like there's blank air unless I have something written down, like, bullet points, what I'm going to talk about. You know, I just can't, like, wing it like that. I'm like, all right, I'm going to talk about A, B, and C, and D, and then if I finish it in less than 20 minutes, then I just have to wing something up. Because, you know, you can have something planned down, like, all right, this is going to take me enough time, but let's say you talk, you say what you got to say, and you finish in, like, 15 minutes talking about it. It's like, okay, now what I'm going to do for the rest of the 10 minutes I have left or something, you know? Yeah. It's just tricky that way.
And when, earlier you mentioned that you had already bought an airtime. How did that work for you? Because are you releasing yours? I know that you got SoundCloud. You got a couple different outlets where you release your podcast. Tell us about that.
SoundCloud is the one that's paid for, but we also have the RSS feed, which is connected to like Stitcher, iTunes, Pod Directory. So those are free, but SoundCloud is our host platform. So that one is paid monthly. So that's like the main one, because that was like the first one we had. So a lot of people know us through SoundCloud, and we have followers on SoundCloud. So, like, you know, that's the thing. Like, so, I don't want to have to pay for anything, and then, you know, I don't want to have something paid for like months and not put anything out, because that's like having a gym membership and not going to the gym. You know, like, why pay for it if you're not gonna, you know, use it? You know, so that's why I always try to get at least content out, even if it's something like small, like a review, or you know, talking about a Comic-Con. You know, I believe in content, because, you know, people want to hear something new. It's almost like when you watch a television show. Like, I just finished watching The Flash, and it so far has been a new episode every Tuesday, and people are committed to that. If you have a date where your episode is on Tuesday, you're committed to the public to make sure you have an episode on Tuesday, even if it's for 10 followers or 5 followers or 100 followers or 1 million, you know. If you have an episode, if you're consistent on having new episodes on Tuesday, that's what you got to do. You just got to do it, you know.
And what has been the challenge on the consistency? Because I know, you know, right now I got a bunch of episodes in the can, but, you know, you having, you know, one or two in the can, do you ever get, like, nervous? Oh, no, I got to put some stuff out. Or, like, how do the followers react when maybe
I'll get, like, you know, mail, like, emails, saying, any new episode this week, you know, what's going on? Like, but people will let you know, like, when there's something not on. I think that's just, like, human nature, you know? Like, what's going on? Like, you're slacking, what's happening, you know? But, yeah. You know, it's, you know, like, you know, crap happens, you know? Like, yeah. You know, life happens, you know, especially, you know, when you work, you know, a regular job and you have kids, you have family, or, you know, sometimes it's not you. Sometimes you're set up to talk to somebody and they cancel on you, like, the last minute, or, you know, not, I want to say it's not their fault that they cancel. Like, you know, stuff happens where, you know, oh, man, you know, my kids are up, or, you know, I simple as totally forgetting, or they forget to call you, you know, things happen, you know, and that's just the way it is. But, like, you know, like I said, I have like a couple hundred episodes down. If you want to hear something, there's always a rerun, because not everybody heard every single episode, I'm sure of it. So, you know, there's an episode of a person you never heard of, hear it. You might be curious about, you know, his life, or you might be curious about what he has to say, you know.
How do you go about getting, you know, listeners and the followers? Do you do any kind of special promotion, or just in the beginning? How do you go about getting the word out about your podcast?
Well, so far, that's just been, like, kind of the struggle, because, you know, I don't have any, like, a team or anything like that. You know, this is pretty much all me and my partner. I have my friend Ryan, who's on Twitter, and, you know, he tweets out the our interviews, and, you know, he sends, like, mass tweets out, and then, you know, of course, the person whoever I talk to, you know, retweets it, or they'll tweet it out, like, hey, check me out on the Atomic Podcast, you know, and, you know, they'll just tweet it out there. But so far, like, I like to consider our show as, like, is a little engine that could, because, you know, we really have no, like, you know, endorsements, we have no, like, you know, celebrities talking about it like that, but so far it's just been, like, we've been earning our fans, like, you know, little by little, and, you know, we've just been earning people from, like, the interviews I had or our tribute shows that we did, representing loving Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, talking about every single movie Arnold Schwarzenegger ever did. And, you know, people like little certain shows like that, you know, not necessarily all celebrities, but shows that we think is, like, kind of ridiculous is the ones that people like, you know, like, almost the most. Like, you know, people talk about our Robin Williams tribute where we just talked about Robin Williams movies. And, you know, people, you know, when he died, people were talking about, you know, his, you know, how he was a humanitarian and all that. But, you know, we didn't know that type of Robin Williams. Our Robin Williams review was Robin Williams in Popeye, Robin Williams in Mork and Mindy, and how he affected us, you know. And, you know, you know, people can relate to that because there's the average Joe who does not know that Robin Williams was, you know, with Billy Crystal and Whoopi Goldberg doing the charity donations for the homeless, you know. There's a lot of people who are just, like, oblivious to that. They just know him from movies. And, you know, people don't want to feel like they're dumbed down, like, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know he did that, you know. They're just people that just watch movies and don't know about, you know, the guy's, you know, history. They just know him in the movies and just they just want to know about the movies. So, you know, we just talk about what we know. You know, we don't know the whole circumstances about depression or anything like that, but we just talk about the man's career, and, you know, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, because, you know, there's a lot of points that you can touch on and a thousand different themes that you can go on and you can talk about the depression in the entertainment industry and all kinds of stuff. But, you know, you seem to have found, like, your niche with the movies and the wrestling and you know, you seem to have that laser focus on that. Is there any other shows like yours that maybe that you like or you kind of look up to or, you know, stuff that you like you're listening to right now that you're like, man, I want to get my show to that point?
Oh, yeah, of course. Stone Cold Podcast is probably, like, the pinnacle of, like, podcasts, you know, because he's just basically himself. And, you know, he doesn't really have a co-host. It's just him talking the way he would normally talk. And, you know, there's no sugarcoating it. Like, yeah. You know, how he says it is the way how he says it. And, you know, he has no filter. And that's why he has on Tuesdays is family friendly and Thursdays is, you know, foul language Thursdays, you know, you know, it's just, that's what I like about it because he just says how he feels and, you know, he doesn't hold nothing back, especially with his guests, you know, he'll say whatever he wants to say. Talk Is Jericho is a good podcast too because his is not just a wrestling podcast. Well, Austin's not just a wrestling podcast either, but Jericho is also in the music business, so he'll have a lot of musical guests, you know, sort of like, you know, he had the guy, the members from Kiss, certain members from Metallica, and then he'll throw in a William Shatner out of left field, and then Eli Ross, and then he'll talk to Bret Hart. So his is pretty cool. And I'm also a big fan of Collider Movie Talk, which is run by John Campia, Mark Ellis, and John Schnepp, and they're basically talking about movie news and what are the box office numbers, and that's a pretty cool show if you're into movies. So, you know, there's a lot of podcasts. There's too much to name. There's Kevin Smith. There's Cole Cabana. There's a whole bunch. Like, I'm surprised I'm not deaf out of all this because I'm usually walking in the train with the headphones on, just hearing podcasts in the morning. Like, you know, there's people that hear music in the morning. I hear podcasts in the morning.
Yeah.
And it also inspires me, too, to even do more. Like, you know, it's almost like I'm learning just from listening from other people and seeing what they do, and then I just do what they do, but with my own twist to it.
Yeah, would you say that there's a kind of a blueprint to releasing a podcast or releasing a radio show like that? Is there a blueprint to it and how you should do it?
I guess there is. You know, you can, you know, if it's your show, you can pretty much release it whenever whatever the freak you want. You know, but, you know, if you're already starting to get listens and you're starting to get traction, you know, you want to have if you want to have your show released every Friday, let's just say, you know, you got to have at least, like, the week coming up, you got to have somebody next for that other Friday. You know, you got to have somebody, if you have somebody every Friday, you just got to make sure you're consistent with the guests. And, you know, you just got to really keep it you know, you just got to it's just trial and error. It's almost like riding a bike. You know, you just got to, you know, you're going to fail and, you know, you might mess up a few times, but that's what gets you the experience is just doing it and just trial and error. You know, you just got to keep doing it, figure out what's wrong. If you're not computer savvy, know somebody who's computer savvy. If it's something you're by yourself and you have no help, learn about it, read about it, go on Google. You can get anything from Google. Google is like the back in the days was the books for dummies, like, you know, books for dummies. Google anything. You can Google how to do a podcast and they'll tell you how to do a podcast. Yeah. You can Google how you edit a podcast and they'll give you sites to edit. So there's a whole bunch of things out there. It's pretty much, you know, people can make movies from their phones now. There's anything is possible nowadays, you know.
What's the best piece of advice that you've gotten for podcasting?
Best piece of advice for podcasting is have fun with it. Be adult about it. You know, don't just do it just because you want to speak to a certain celebrity, and, you know, because then you'll mess it up for everybody else because they'll think everybody's just a fanboy. Like, oh, I have a podcast show, but the only reason I'm calling you is because I really want to talk to you, and then I'm not really recording anything. You know, make sure you're legit. Make sure, you know, you talk to whoever you're talking to, talk to them before you actually, you know, interview them, you know, get everything out the way. Like, first of all, I'm a big fan of yours, blah, 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 you know, and, you know, I'm just excited to talk to you and this and that. But just, you know, advice is just, you know, take your time with it, research it, you know, just, you know, enunciate your words, take your time with it, pace yourself, and, you know, just, you know, you can pretty much Google it and ask around, and, you know, the answers are there at your fingertips, basically.
Yeah. Well, nah, man, I know you're a wealth of knowledge. Anything else that you can tell the listeners about podcasting and how we should go about it? I know there's a ton of people I've been talking to that have been thinking about doing podcasting, and for me, I just, you know, I went to one of those, I went to go see Nick Unsworth, and he's a life coach, and he's got a podcast, and then I heard John Lee Dumas, and he's got like a business entrepreneur podcast, and that just kind of hyped me up, and then he started talking about the kind of money he was making, you know, doing the podcasting and having the businesses on the side, and it just kind of lit a fire, you know, for me to want to do it. And, you know, I'm sitting here like, man, you know, I was doing that a while ago. I just wasn't monetizing, you know, so now I'm wanting to do it, but more, I think a lot of people have stories that need to be out, you know, and you know, you're someone like me, you like to let people get their stories out, man. And I appreciate what you're doing. So, tell us how we can find the podcast.
You can find the Atomic Podcast at SoundCloud. You go on the search engine, just put the Atomic Podcast, is all there. You can find us on Stitcher, iTunes, Pod Directory. Where I'm also on Twitter at DA Atomic Podcast. You can look me up on Facebook, send me a friend request. My name is Efren Guzman. I'm sure there's not like hundreds of me. There's probably like a few of me because my name is pretty much rare. But, yeah, you know, I'm an open book, and I love feedback, and, you know, I love the people out there, and, you know, I'm a movie fan, I'm a wrestling fan, I'm a toy fan, I'm an everything fan, so, you know, look me up.
Nice, nice. No, I appreciate you, man. Thank you for taking the time to hang with me and share the story and give us some input on podcasting, and I hope as we both learn how to do these podcasts that we can kind of, you know, stay in contact and stay up in each other's shows and you know, kind of keep the ball rolling, East Coast, West Coast connection.
Yeah, definitely, man. I'm honored to be on Connected, man. I'm connected now with Ruben Torres, and, you know, I wish you the best in this thing, and you're very, you know, you've been, you know, I'm sure you got a whole bunch of episodes in the can, and, you know, you're doing your thing too, and, you know, you're a man who loves to help the people, and, you know, you have a lot of good connections because you're connected, and it shows, man, and I wish you the best with this podcast, and I think it's going to go places, man. Just always stay humble and always be you. Don't try to be like nobody else. That's the best advice I can give. Just be you. You know, you're not Joe Blow. You're not Denzel Washington. You're Ruben Torres.
Yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate that. And also shout out to my people out in New York, out in Spanish Harlem, our mutual friend, Edgar Santana, the champ.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're saying he was your barber for a bit, right?
Yeah, for a little while, yeah. He cut my hair for a little bit. But then, you know how, like, you have a certain barber. Like, I was still young. And then, you know, you just feel it out other barbers. So I just felt somebody else out. And then, you know, also I have my barber now. But, like, we were talking about earlier, you know, men, the one thing men are committed to and they are really faithful to is their barbers.
Yeah, yeah, that's for sure. I've heard people say, man, you know, people they'll cheat on their wives before they cheat on their barbers. So that's
true.
You know, that's crazy to think.
I had a coworker who waited for a month because his barber went to DR for his barber to come back. I was like, dude, you're like kind of balding. You just why you just get a Caesar? Like, no, I gotta wait for my barber to come back. Ain't nobody else touching my hair. Wow. I'm like, yeah, but you don't have that much hair. You got a Caesar. Like, nah, I'm still waiting for him. I'm like, wow, that's dedication right there.
Yeah.
A month because you went to VR?
That's some loyalty.
Wow, more power to you.
Yeah, that's some loyalty. Well, no, man, appreciate you. I know it's you know, kind of late out there on the East Coast already, man. I appreciate it. You know, thank you for taking your time to you know, give some insight to our listeners. And, you know, hopefully we all learn something and we're going to continue to learn. And, you know, I appreciate you, man. And let's stay in contact. And
definitely, always.
Yeah,
like I say on my show, I hope everyone out there was intellectually stimulated by way of mobile devices.
There you go. You've just been connected. So make sure you guys, both listeners, the Atomic Podcast and the Connected listeners, make sure you guys go and look us up, iTunes, the whole thing, Stitcher, all that stuff. Give us a 5-star rating. Subscribe, spread the word, give us a review, all that good stuff, man, because it's needed. So we appreciate you guys, man. Much love, East Coast, West Coast connection. Here you go. You just got connected.